Hi, my name is Yesenia Alvarez, Community Evangelist for Microsoft, and we're here at Cross Campus in Pasadena attending NASA Space Apps Challenge. I'm very excited to introduce my wonderful guest, Justin. Justin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Justin Brezhnev, and I'm the Executive Director of Hacker Fund. We're a 501c3 charity, and we inspire kids across the nation with our mentors. And so we have been working with Microsoft for a pretty long time, actually since the moment that I got started in the hackathon community. Microsoft has been actually one of the organizations that really got us onto our feet when we decided that we wanted to inspire kids. And so what our organization does is we run around in animal suits inspiring kids, making it seem that it's really cool to be a developer. Sometimes many kids think that the heroes are the ones that are the astronauts going into space, but sometimes it's not just the astronauts, it's the people building the rockets, it's the engineers that are also really powerful. And so what we do is we inspire them to be those engineers. And so we work with Microsoft, we work with SpaceX, we work with NASA, we work with JPL, and we've put on the Space Apps Next Gen event, actually. And we've done so many things with high school kids that we've really seen that the power to change the world is at your fingertips. And we're just happy to be here to provide that inspiration and that support for a lot of the kids that we're impacting.
So when you say you got started at hackathons, like when did you really get started in wanting to support like students through like hacking and like development and mentoring?
Sure. It started at HackTech, actually. HackTech was the moment where we realized that there was something meaningful to be done in the hackathon community. We were reached out to by, I personally wanted to throw a hackathon when I was at UCLA, and we were doing that specifically when we saw that there was a hackathon in Michigan with MHacks, and then when we realized that there was something that in LA that needed to happen, we realized that there was our responsibility, and it was four students from Caltech, and then it was two students from UCLA. I was one of those students, and we decided to throw our first hackathon for the collegiate hackathon community on the West Coast, and we had over 1,000 engineers attend at Santa Monica Place. And it was beautiful because that was the first time that I met so many technology companies. And as a student at UCLA, you know, you wanted to connect with people on a personal level. And a hackathon is that community and that environment where you can actually connect with a person on a personal level, more than just like, oh, this is a person from Google or Apple or Microsoft who is here to potentially give you a job. It's just somebody who's here to actually inspire you to want to believe in that, in the fact that technology is something that is a tool for confidence, for community. And when I decided to do HackTech and then followed up with LA Hacks, I just fell down a rabbit hole and came out a cat, and here I am today.
I think that was the same thing for me. I want to say that I think HackTech was my very first hackathon, and here we're like 20 hackathons
yes,
in.
We're friends now.
That's right. So, I mean, when you think about like where you've evolved now, so you started off at MLH Hacks, and that's where we met when you were working with HackTech, and now that you've evolved into Hacker Fund, so like what caused that evolution for you more than anything? So like I do understand like the wanting to help other community and create a community of hackers, but I think Hacker Fund itself has a very direct focus. Could you talk a little more about that?
Sure. That actually happened when I went to my old high school wanting to do a hackathon. So I was at Major League Hacking at the time, and we were the Collegiate Hackathon League, and we were doing a lot of events, and I noticed that high school kids kept winning the events, and I'm like scratching my head thinking, why is this, what is going on? And I asked some of the high school students, and I'm like, what are the resources you have at school? And they said, we have APCS, but our teacher doesn't really know how to teach us. Do you have an after-school club? They said, no. Have you ever been to a hackathon? This is my first hackathon. And I noticed that there was just, across the board, there was not a lot of computer science support. And so where we came in is we happened to be friends with the people who are driving the technology forward. We happened to be friends with the developers who are at Microsoft or at Apple or at Google or at Snapchat, Tinder, you know. We can tell the kids that they can open up their iPhone and look through the App Store, and we know a person who's developing that app, creating that level of relevance for the students, because creating that relevance is so much more important than actually showing them the end results. It's showing them that the journey is attainable for them. And we've noticed that when they're teachers who are maybe 20 years older than them or 15 years older than them, it's really hard for the students to relate to those individuals. But when you have somebody who's 2 years older or 3 years older or maybe 7 years older, showing you that it's super cool to be a technologist, and the fact that they are super confident that really shows you that there's a clear path. And we've noticed that the way that we engage is through our mentors and creating those role models. And so we realize that students like seeing people who may look like them, who may have come from the same neighborhood as them, people who have experienced the same type of upbringing. And when you can connect a person on that type of level, we've noticed that setting the growth curve is really, it's stronger than, and I almost feel sometimes that I as an individual being 23 years old, turning 24, I almost feel like I got into it late in the game, and I'm doing everything in my ability to give the people who are 11 or 12 the kind of opportunity that people are getting in college. And we've seen that 11-year-olds can learn Unity at Code Days, and they can do the things that the big boys and big girls can, and they can hang too, and that's what got us into that specific niche.
So, like, let's talk about this hack suit, right? Yeah. How is this, like, received, right? So, when you go to a university or when you go to a high school, like, how do you approach the teachers and the faculty, and how does this work out when you're mentoring?
No, this actually was a byproduct of a safety, of just a safety protocol at our events. When we had our first hack tech, and the organizers were all wearing orange shirts, and all the attendees were wearing orange shirts, and then you're wondering, how do I find somebody who's in charge? And so we realized, just from, I was a summer camp counselor, and my experience working with kids is, especially when they're trying to make friends in a new environment, you gotta really level the playing field and just make it almost so out of the ordinary where they can just feel comfortable knowing that they can just bring out the inner them, you know? And when I was given this cat suit, it was at a hackathon, and it was at Hack Duke, and I needed to stand out at a certain point, and I remember I was wearing a monkey hat, and everybody walks in from a previous hackathon, everyone had a monkey hat, and I'm like, I'm not gonna be standing out today. And so I was given this cat suit, and I put it on, and somehow it went really viral. And then I guess I walked to the airport after that hackathon in the cat suit, and I kept noticing that people were asking me, what do you do? And I noticed that there was very similar to the Lyft mustache, how the Lyft mustache started, and they were trying, everyone had these really obnoxious Lyft mustaches on their cars, and everyone's wondering, what is the car with the Lyft mustache? Why is it a purple mustache or a pink mustache? And we started getting those questions, and I realized that I don't need to carry business cards anymore. This was a $70 investment that has lasted me 2 years now. And we don't need much of a marketing budget. When we come into a room, everyone's like, oh, did you see the guy with the cat suit? What was he talking about? And sometimes, well, most importantly, the reason is that it grabs people's attention, and technology sometimes can be over the head for some people. And we want the bottom line for students to remember that there was somebody in a cat suit talking about technology, saying that it was cool and that it's super relevant. And bottom line, whether or not you understood what the code was doing, you know that it was meaningful, and you remember that that was important to you at that point. And so
like you focus on providing technical mentoring. What's the hardest part of that? Like recruiting mentors? Like what do you think is the biggest, the most difficult thing that you tend to tackle?
The most difficult thing to tackle is volunteer burnout. We have a lot of volunteers that love going to hackathons, and we've had several volunteers who have stayed for 24 hours straight. And sometimes telling volunteers to take a break is sometimes just so, like, it's difficult because you wonder, just these people are so devoted to their craft. They're people who are developing the technology during the day, and at the weekends they're teaching kids how to do it. And we've had mentors who sometimes just forget to even eat, forget to take naps, and they're just like teaching because they love it so much. And the biggest problem has been just making sure that mentors are having a great experience and also are able to keep going to many hackathons. We're getting overwhelmingly, like a really intense amount of requests right now, especially because we just locked a national partnership with Code Day. We went from 3 cities to 24 cities within a matter of weeks, and now it's a lot of responsibility, and our volunteers are feeling it, and we're getting so many different requests that it's just making sure that everybody is at 100% engagement and can keep pushing, you know, and it's just making sure that they're like, it's making sure that they're comfortable, because we want to make sure that the experience is really fun for them and that they are not overworked, because volunteers sometimes, everybody loves to give who's on our volunteer force, and we want to make sure that they're, you know, having fun too.
So if I'm a mentor and I want to work with Hacker Fund, like what would that look like? What does that process look like? Do I just say, hey, Hacker Fund, I want to participate, I want to donate, what does that process look like?
So getting involved with Hacker Fund, there's multiple ways. We have a lot of different stakeholders. We have a lot of donors who are interested in just supporting our events and putting on the events. But then there's also the technical mentors who apply, and we have a whole vetting process. We have a multi-step process because we like to ensure the safety of the kids. First and foremost is the safety of the kids at the events. And so we have a standard mentor registration process. If you're a technical mentor, you kind of say your skills that you're interested in teaching kids, whether it's Arduino or you want to teach kids Java, you know, or you want to teach Unity. It really depends on what your interests are, but we know that if you have a skill set, there is a student that wants to learn that skill set, and it's about matching them in different locations. And so once you pass the application and you say what skills you want, we send you along to our corporate vetting team. So that's made up of engineers at Apple, Google, Microsoft, Snapchat, selected engineers who like to look over GitHubs, look over your portfolio of experience, and then once you go through the technical vetting process, we put you into what's called our mentor vibe call, and that's when I get on the phone, and some of our other mentors, our very veteran mentors who've been with us since the beginning, you know, they get on the phone call with you, and they kind of see if you're fit to engage with kids, you know, because the optimization for us is confidence. You know, can you go into a room and take a kid who may not be interested in technology and show them why they should be inspired?
So on the other side of that, if I'm a student and I want to work with Hacker Fund, like what does that look like, right? If I want your help to come to my school and actually like build a hackathon,
sure.
What would that look like? And then to add to that, like how would you build confidence with students?
Totally, totally. So the we've had a lot of requests from students specifically who are looking to come and engage with us and bring Hacker Fund to their school. And what we tried to do is build the mentor community around those students. So what we notice is we'll have a student reach out to us from a certain high school, and then maybe down the road there's another high school, and we try to build that community together through an ambassadorship. And so the students are given kind of goals to achieve that can allow us to bring in more mentors. So what we do is we kind of overlay two maps, the students that are requesting and the mentors who are in their area. And so we build that community and like a giant brain trust in that area. And then find venues like Cross Campus or other co-working spaces who can host the mentor meetups so that the students can introduce the mentors to the principals and create a community.
So you're not only providing like technical mentoring and that means like supporting hackathons, you're also helping hackathon organizers build their hackathons themselves so that they can then just pay it forward in some way, shape, or form.
Totally.
Like what else would you say, like from an inspirational perspective, like what, as you're talking to students, what do you think like the right message or the right conversation is, right? How do you get them to want to have a drive to want to code?
Sure. The message, the overarching message is the fact that we work a lot of times with students that are in low-income communities, and a lot of them are looking for a way out. And we've noticed that a great way to provide that way out is through confidence building through technology. You know, a lot of times we're working in communities where there's a lot of gangs. You know, they need role models. They need somebody to show them that they can go home, they can work on a certain project, and that project not only will allow them to maybe get a job at a Microsoft or an Apple or a Google, but also they can submit it to the App Store and they can, or the Google Play Store or anywhere. You know, just put it out there and there's people who will consume, you know. It's the fact that you can walk into a store and pick up a phone and know that it's not just for consumption, it's for production. And you are a builder, and showing the students that it's like you can go off after you've learned these skills and get a very wholesome salary and also help your family. You know, a lot of them are in that position where they're helping their family with their bills. And that's something that is really meaningful because, you know, I have seen many of our mentors grow up in similar conditions, especially because some of our mentors are some of my really good friends. And I've noticed that allowing them to be role models for students who grew up in similar conditions is a really meaningful experience, because not only does it have the mentors paid forward, but the students look up at a mentor who was in their position 3 years ago. We've had a mentor who's homeless, you know, and now he is one of our top mentors and serving our board. And he was on my couch. And it was unbelievable just to take a person who was from rags to riches, and JavaScript was the answer, you know. And to be able to have that kind of an individual speak to kids, you know, and provide that is meaningful more than they understand now. And maybe in 5 years when they're in that same position and they've made it, they'll understand it. And we tell this to kids all the time, that it's just like, you are the average of the five people you surround yourself with. You know, Jim Rohn said it right. And so that's something that we instill in these kids. And we're like, go to a hackathon, surround yourself with the people who may be your co-founders, who may be your next best friend, the people who you may work for, or they may work for you, who knows? But just surround yourself with the people who are pushing technology in a way that you can't get anywhere else.
Well, is there anything else that you'd like to share with the audience? I really appreciate your time and the cat suit.
Yes. So anything I'd like to share. We have Code Day coming up next month. We are looking for volunteers, technical mentors, whether you work for a company or you have a startup or you're a college student who is an engineer looking to inspire kids. Code Day is next month, May 21st to 22nd. If you are interested in volunteering, just email mentors@hacker.fund and one of our fluffy team members will reach out and see if you're a right fit for Code Day. And so we hope to see you soon.
This is Yesenia coming from the Women in Data Bootcamp at NASA Space Apps Challenge. Thank you very much, Justin, for your time this afternoon.
Thank you. Happy hacking, everyone.